Take your plans out of the group chat and get long weekend ready in new Abercrombie. From day to night, pack new outfits for every part of your itinerary. Grabbing brunch, throw on the A&F Mila dress. Then head to your dinner reservation in their new Bubble Hem mini dress. And yes, permission to overpack for pics with the girls, Abercrombie's best-selling Scarlet Squirt deserves a post in your feed. Your plans are worth it. Shop Abercrombie's new long weekend collection online or in store.
This episode is brought to you by Nerds Gummy Clusters, the sweet treat that always elevates the vibe. With a sweet gummy surrounded with tangy, crunchy nerds, every bite of Nerds Gummy Clusters brings you a whole new world of flavor. Whether it's game night, on the way to a concert, or kicking back with your crew, unleash your senses with Nerds Gummy Clusters.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Kate Lindsay. And you're listening to ICYMI, in case you missed it. Slate's podcast about internet culture. And Candace, I have some news.
Okay, I'm ready.
I am now a momager.
Oh, okay, Kris Jenner in the house. Next question I have that I like miss. A pregnancy announcement. What's happening?
You did not, because I am, of course, talking about my cat, who I posted on TikTok over the weekend in a video that now has, wait for it, 11,000 views.
You know what? That is sizable. I'm so proud of you. Congrats. How did we get here?
I mean, I'd say fame has gone to my cat's head, but sort of the post itself was riffing on this trend that I don't know if you've seen on TikTok, but basically pet owners have been going to animal communicators and then reporting back with what their pets told them. Except my cat, his name is Partner, is very, very dumb. So I thought it'd be funny to do the trend, but then joke that the animal communicator told me that his brain was empty and therefore there was nothing to communicate.
I like that. A little one-two step twist. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now that you are the owner of a famous cat, what are your plans as his momager?
Well, obviously he needs a publicist. I'd love to get him booked on the Jennifer Hudson show so he can walk down that hallway where people sing at him.
The spirit tunnel, not the spirit tunnel.
Yeah, I want to shoot him down that spirit tunnel. Brand deals. If Hill's Pet Food is listening, we are open to offers because that food is expensive.
Yeah.
But then there's also the emotional labor I have to tackle of making sure his sister Ruby doesn't feel left out. So I'm hoping to kind of piggyback on this with a career for her as well.
Wow, this is tough. Who's the Kendall? Who's the Kylie?
Oh, this is a great question. I would say Partner is more so a Rob Kardashian.
Wow.
And then we have, and then Ruby is giving Courtney to me.
Oh,
if that helps contextualize this. So
no, that's so helpful and so funny, because literally last night I watched a TikTok from someone who discovered that Rob used to be hot. Just hold space for that.
Oh, it's every generation must learn that on their own. It's a rite of passage.
It's the Boston Robification, literal Rob Kardashianification of like realizing he dated a cheetah girl, realizing he used to be hot. I know it's really tough. It's really tough.
But yeah, so that was my weekend. Candace, how was yours?
You know what? It was also great. I went to a book festival that's held every year at USC. It's put on by the LA Times. It was really fun. I saw Jenny Slate, Paige DeSorbo and Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. They were also there. Big Sean showed up.
Wait, this lineup is definition of never let them guess your next move.
I know. And then obviously some of my favorite authors like Jasmine Guillory, Allie Hazelwood, Fallon Ballard. I got to see them speak, and that was an extremely crowded room, but it was really fun, and it's an event I love to go to. And so had a good time.
Okay, very sophisticated literary weekend, but knowing the book world, especially book talk, I have to know if there was any drama.
There kind of was. And let me start off by saying this is all alleged. I heard it like from a person, from a person, from a person. But basically, this year, I think one of the biggest authors there was Rebecca Yarros, who wrote Fourth Wing, Romanticy, very big on book talk. look, I heard from a source that people were so excited to see her. The line for her book signing was around the building. They had to hire additional security guards to keep people in place because they were also like, everyone needs a ticket. If you are a friend or a family of someone with a ticket, you don't count. Get out of here. And it, and people were like, it felt like Taylor Swift was there, but if Taylor Swift was book. And so, I don't know. I just love that type of stuff because it's so unlikely that someone's going to like, oh, I don't know, cause chaos, pull a punch at the book festival. But I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see it, mm-hmm.
You know what? That experience is actually a lot like getting married at City Hall, for those interested. I couldn't bring my sister in because we had hit four guests with my husband's parents and my parents. And I had to look at her and go, I'm sorry, I got to leave you behind. It's cutthroat out there.
It is cutthroat. And that was kind of the tea from the book fest. But I also think this was a fitting week for today's episode because we're actually diving into some book drama.
Yes, it is everyone's favorite kind of drama involving everyone's favorite buzzwords. We have enemies to lovers. We have influencer unrelatability. We also maybe have queer baiting. But first, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about an influencer whose upcoming book has kicked off a whole controversy before it's even been released.
Hey there. If you love our podcast, then maybe you should consider subscribing to Slate Plus to immediately unlock bonus episodes. You'll access ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts, including bi-weekly bonus episodes of this show. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts by clicking Try Free at the top of our show page or visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to get access wherever you listen. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called AutoQuote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Saks Fifth Avenue. Shopping at Saks is the perfect way to discover the latest styles, elevate your everyday look, and refresh your wardrobe just in time for spring. At Saks, you'll find inspiration for every occasion, from casual outfits to special events. My favorite thing to do in my off time is to go online shopping, and I cannot recommend the Saks.com experience enough. They have so many of my wishlist brands on the website, from Amina Mawadi shoes to Alice and Olivia dresses, and it's spring, which means wedding season is starting up. Saks inspires me to discover looks for anything and everything on my agenda, from destination wedding dresses to shoes that can last the whole weekend. Whether you're refreshing your entire wardrobe or shopping for a vacation, Saks makes it fun and easy. So, if you're looking for a fun, effortless shopping experience and want to elevate your personal style, head to Saks. That's Saks.com for everyday inspiration. And we're back. So, Kate, we are here today to talk about a new book that's coming out soon. It's called Hotter in the Hamptons. It's about an influencer who gets canceled after a series of public mishaps, including a less than favorable New York Magazine type profile. And of course, this influencer is based in New York City. So to escape her cancellation, where does she go?
I'm guessing where we all go when we need to escape for a little R&R, the Hamptons.
Ding, ding. She spends her summer in the Hamptons, but she finds out that her neighbor is the journalist who wrote that nasty profile of her. First off, has this ever happened to you?
When you ask that, are you asking, have I ever been the journalist or have I ever been canceled and then been next to the journalist who did it?
Either or.
No, but I have had to be in a room with people who I have written things they don't like. And that's hard, but we've never fallen in love, which is, I don't know, I guess what happens here.
Exactly. Because the thing is, enemies to lovers, one of the most popular tropes in romance novels today, I would say it's a part of this book. One small thing I am forgetting to mention, the journalist who wrote the profile is a woman, and the person who wrote this book is a straight woman. That's if you actually believe she actually wrote it.
okay, you're dropping so many enticing bombs, but I think I need more context before I investigate further.
Yeah. So let me back up. Hotter in the Hamptons is written by Christina Najjar, aka Tinks. She's an influencer who was mentioned on the show back in 2022 because some old tweets of hers resurfaced, you know, of the fat shaming, bad COVID takes, Trump voter allegations variety. But I feel like a lot of chronically online people have seen her before because of the box theory. And I will let Tinks explain it herself.
When men meet you in a romantic setting, they put you in a box. Either they want to date you, they want to sleep with you, or they want nothing to do with you. It's very difficult to shift from box to box. And your behavior doesn't really affect what box you're in to a guy. So if he meets you and he's like, I want to date this girl, you could puke on his shoes and sleep with him on the first night and it wouldn't matter. Vice versa, if he meets you and he just wants to hook up, you could make him wait 3 months to sleep with you. It's not going to change that.
Okay. Kate, are you familiar with box theory or Tinks?
This is my first time hearing about box theory, but I have heard Tinks's name around. I feel like she was one of those like early TikTok success stories.
Yeah, I definitely think that the pandemic was kind of one of those serendipitous things for her where she really took off. But I will say, do you want to guess who's a big fan of box theory?
Oh, it does not surprise me at all if the answer to this is one Mel Robbins.
Oh, hell yeah. Because they did a podcast together. And you know what? I have to say, this is genius. Tinks was able to link box theory to Let Them Theory. And I was like, here we go. Here we go.
That's, if anything, those feel like, I don't know, maybe actually, you know what, I can see the link, but in general, I'm so wary of any, like, there's so much advice out there that tries to, like, make relationships some type of, like, formula, or, like, this very set in stone thing that I just think they are not. But I guess for some people, it's, like, a helpful thought exercise. I don't know, was this her claim to fame?
Yeah, it was to the point where she kind of became known as a dating influencer or like a big sister who gives advice from her lived experience. And I would say she's made a successful career out of this. She has 1.5 million followers on TikTok. Her first book was a dating self-help book called The Shift. And the book that we're talking about today, Hotter in the Hamptons, it already got optioned for a TV adaptation by the Foster sisters.
And those are the two sisters behind the Kristen Bell, Adam Brody Netflix show, Nobody Wants This, which I know was a huge hit. So what's the controversy here? Because if it's not the Trump voter allegations, then why am I hearing people already getting mad about a book that actually isn't even out yet?
So it all starts when I saw this TikTok from a creator named @MalTalks who asked some very good questions after Tinks's novel was announced.
Have you ever read something and thought, this doesn't really sound like the person who's credited with writing it? Let's say, hypothetically, a massively followed influencer, someone who's never publicly identified as queer, suddenly drops a queer romance novel, and the internet goes wild. It is so sexy, so brave, so cool. But what if those words weren't actually theirs? What if someone else wrote it? What if the real author was never acknowledged? What if they were hired to stay invisible?
And this creator basically infers that Tinks's book was potentially ghostwritten by Gabrielle Korn, who was the editor-in-chief of Nylon. She's written her own books. And if you go on her website, there's a page called Manuscript Services. When you click on it, the first thing you see under the ghostwriting category is the cover of Hotter in the Hamptons. And what's interesting is that she doesn't say, like, I ghostwrote this book. Instead, she says, quote, I love working as a ghostwriter and collaborator to bring your literary dreams to life, no matter what genre.
Yeah, I guess, like, she doesn't spell it out, but it's very right. much like the pieces are there for you to put together. I mean, I took a gander and there's no click to buy link, not even a caption with the title of the book. And I should mention here that actually Gabrielle and I used to work together. Hello, Gabrielle, if you're listening. And she's great. But what else? Is there any other evidence that she was perhaps a ghostwriter or collaborator behind this?
Well, I will say right now that I did read a copy of Hotter in the Hamptons. I'm not going to review the book here, but in the acknowledgement section of the advanced copy I have, the first person Tinks thanks is Gabrielle Korn. And she doesn't really specify what for or why, but first name, last name, it's the first name you see.
Yeah. And one thing I actually want to say, because that the way that that sort of TikTok that we played the audio of is presented, it's kind of acting like this is a kind of sneaky, unprecedented erasure of Gabrielle's work. But ghostwriting is not new to the industry. Ghostwriting has been a thing for years and years, especially with celebrities who hire someone to write a memoir for them.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are great, but there are two extra layers here. First, back in February, Tinks went on Jeff Lewis's podcast and he asked her this.
Did you have a ghostwriter?
No.
Hmm. So there had to be some research.
Jeff, I'm with you.
Interesting.
And it's 2024. You know, everybody.
So you're a straight girl, by the way, profiting off of a gay story.
I am a straight woman who loves gay people and who wants to amplify queer joy.
Okay. Ghostwriter allegations denied. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff actually asks a pretty deep question here, because Gabrielle is openly queer, but Tinks is not. And she says in that clip, she's a straight woman who wants to amplify queer joy. And the way she says it, I mean, I get, you know, it's allyship is important and that seems what she's going for, but something still feels kind of off.
Yeah. And I will let Maltox fill in the rest.
Which gaps are we widening when visibility is given to the already visible? And the ones who are doing the labor are hired, paid off to stay silent. What does it say about the publishing world when identity is only marketable when it's filtered through someone already profitable? And I wonder how many queer writers get told their stories are too complicated, too risky, too niche, while some people with no lived connections get a massive book deal, a press tour, and countless headlines.
Okay, well, again, I want to say ghostwriters are not paid off to stay silent. They are paid a regular kind of wage for a job. But I get what she's saying, sort of like who gets to be openly championing these stories and who isn't. I have more questions than answers. Off the top of my head, though, did Tinks respond to this TikTok?
She did. And I wonder if we should parse through what she said. But first, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what Tink said in response to the TikTok, and we'll talk about the specific betrayal some people feel when influencers use ghostwriters.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states and situations.
Oh, I see why, my listeners. Do I have a scoop for you? So what is it, you ask? It's that Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Now, before anyone goes suggesting that this is just a rumor, know that there's actual proof that this kettle of tea is not only piping hot, but 100% true. So, yeah, sometimes it pays to be a little nosy, but it always pays to Discover. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report, learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Oh, I see why, my listeners. Do I have a scoop for you? So what is it, you ask? It's that Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Now, before anyone goes suggesting that this is just a rumor, know that there's actual proof that this kettle of tea is not only piping hot, but 100% true. So, yeah, sometimes it pays to be a little nosy, but it always pays to Discover. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report, learn more at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back. So we're talking about Tinks' upcoming book, which is about an influencer getting canceled and possibly falling in love with the writer who canceled her. There's some controversy happening online because Tinks, up until this point, has identified as a straight woman, but this book revolves around a queer romance. And before the break, Candace, you played this clip from Maltox, who brought up that Gabrielle Korn, a queer writer herself, probably ghostwrote or at least collaborated on the novel.
Yeah. And Tinks did jump in the comments of that TikTok. She said, quote, "Of course, I hired a collaborator who's queer. I am not lesbian. I wanted to nail that part of the storyline. It's not a secret. She's the first person I think in acknowledgments."
Yeah. And the first thing I'm picking up on is, yeah, she uses the word collaborator, not ghostwriter. And collaborator is much vaguer and could actually mean a lot of things, one of which is, you know, a sensitivity reader, which would make sense in this case since she's writing about something that she does not have a lived experience in. A queer sensitivity reader could come in and make sure that, you know, she's not falling into any tropes and that, it, you know, it's staying authentic and just making sure it all checks out. And so it's kind of purposefully murky what this relationship is. And I do think that is often the case with ghostwriters, is it seems pretty rare that, like, you know, the front of the book will say their name and then say, but actually written by this person.
Right, right. And it's interesting because I did watch a TikTok from someone who actually feels optimistic about the book because it was ghostwritten by Gabrielle, but she has some caveats.
Gabrielle has my full support. My issue with this is how Tinks is marketing the book. I made a video on this when the book was announced, but its BISAC category on bookshop.org is LGBTQ+ romance. Tinks has really only emphasized that there's a lot of spice and it's super raunchy, but she's never talked about that it's sapphic. And the issue that Mal so perfectly articulated is that you have an influencer dipping into an identity that they can step out of and not experience the marginalization that comes with that identity.
And I would say points were made, because something that I was thinking about is in that Jeff Lewis podcast, Jeff asked Tinks if it was, quote, a lesbian love story. And she said, no, it's a spicy summer fling between a girl and, quote, some people. There's kind of this purposeful vagueness to it, and they keep pressing her on it. They're like, does it come from life experience? And she says, no, it's fiction. And I was like, okay.
Man, I mean, yeah, it's a pretty big swing to take if you're gonna have to spend most of the marketing talking around this. And through the creator's point, that does make it pretty strategic. And it's hard to argue that any of these criticisms are coming because an influencer is just making mistakes. There's clearly a plan here, and I wonder if she expected people to react, or I wonder if it was even ever the plan to acknowledge Gabrielle in this very public way.
Yeah, and I should note, we did reach out to both Tinks and Gabrielle Korn for comment. They did not respond, but I think this brings us into a bigger conversation about who gets to write what, especially when a ghostwriter or collaborator is involved, because look, I'll admit that I was a fan of Tinks's early in the pandemic, and then I kind of slowly started weaning off her content just because I have a personal rule. I do not take dating or life advice from TikTok anymore, because sometimes it just gets a little problematic, or sometimes they kind of turn very simple phrases into like toxic literature. But I was curious about this book, and when I heard it was a queer romance, I did take a pause and I was like, oh, okay, like, is it possible that this novel is maybe like a smaller version of her coming out? And so I kind of read half of the book thinking that.
Yeah. And you know what? In the end, like, a fully published novel, multi-stop book tour, TV adaptation, that would actually be a pretty huge coming out.
Yeah. And then I heard about the ghostwriter allegations. And so I went into the second half of the book thinking about that. And I was turning it over and I was kind of like, okay, where is my discomfort coming from? Is it because it was ghostwritten? Is it because I'm reading and possibly supporting a story of a queer experience that's filtered through the marketability of a straight woman? I mean, maybe we start with the ghostwritten part. Like, where are you at right now with ghostwritten books?
I mean, so many books that people love or that were bestsellers, they were ghostwritten or similarly involved a collaborator. There's Becoming by Michelle Obama, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg, The Woman in Me by Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. None of those feel like betrayals. It's like, well, yes, I don't expect Britney Spears to be a worldwide singing and dancing superstar and also a prolific writer, but I want to hear her story.
Right.
And then even in the world of like fiction, this isn't unheard of. Series like The Babysitter's Club, Goosebumps, there's a reason they were able to churn out so many. It's because many of those stories were ghostwritten.
Okay, so breaking news, I didn't know Babysitter's Club was ghostwritten. Can you just do a quick explainer? What do you mean?
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to break it to you. But yeah, I think, like, you know, the Hardy Boys is another one. Those big, like, classic series where, like, and you go to the bookstore and you could see like shelves and shelves and shelves of like one mystery, one story after another. In order to keep up that output, Yeah, they turned to ghostwriters.
Oh, wow. And it's not like they're using like a fake name, but it's actually them. It's like someone else. The work was output. I mean, Shakespeare, are we putting him in this category?
I mean, yeah, I thought about adding him and then I was like, oh, I don't know. Are we ready for the Shakespeare ghostwriter allegations?
I know, I know. We don't want his lawyers coming for us again.
Yeah. Don't want to get in the hot water with the bard community again.
Oh, no. And see, here's the thing. Like, there's already layers to this. I think there's also a different stigma or acceptance when a celebrity writes a memoir using a ghostwriter.
Yeah, I think we can safely say thank God J.R. Moehringer ghostwrote Spare for Prince Harry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And an influencer ghostwriting a book. There's a difference. Do you think there's like a specific stigma or criticism there?
Using a ghostwriter, like inherently, it is not shameful. They're a resource for people often who like have a story to tell, but they need some guidance getting there. With influencers, it feels a little different, especially because this is fiction. You know, with an influencer, up until a ghostwritten book, they've been the one telling their own stories. It's their words coming out of their mouths on social media. So then to kind of take this thing and be like, I wrote this for you, but actually you didn't. Even though it's fiction, that's still a pretty big departure from the relationship you had established. So I can understand why followers are like, wait, I wanted to hear from you, not anyone else. Like, I'm not interested in a book someone else wrote. And without that authenticity, I think it's really easy to feel like you're just actually just being sold something.
Yeah. I mean, I will admit, because of this Tinks incident, I finally realized that Kendall and Kylie Jenner did not write Rebel City of Indra back in 2014.
Did you read that book when it came out?
I did not, but trust me, when they talked about it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, mm-hmm. I went straight to the Barnes & Noble website. I did a little flippy flip inside cover, and I was like, wow, I can't believe they wrote a book. Don't believe it. They didn't write a book, but it's just funny because, like, it just never crossed my mind that, like, they were not the ones putting pen to paper on that, you know?
I mean, I would love if they took that pivot, but you saying that is the first time I had thought about them writing that book in a while, and it is like giving fever dream.
Exactly.
But, you know, let's say you had known it was ghostwritten. Would you have purchased it?
I'm like really thinking. No.
Yeah.
I think my answer is no. It's, and I use them as an example because they are, I guess, what we would call influencers now, obviously. Mm-hmm. Kendall, you are a real model. We understand.
Kendall, please believe in yourself.
Exactly. But I think the other reason why there is like a certain disappointment when influencer books are ghostwritten is because they are known for creating their own content online. They are self-employed. There's kind of a handmadeness to what they're known for. So when you buy a book that they didn't actually write cover to cover, it almost devalues the item. I compare it to like if you bought something on Etsy by someone whose TikToks you love, because let's say they crochet hats by hand and you buy one of their hats and then you find out that the piece you bought from their shop was actually mass produced or made by someone else. It's not only that your thing wasn't made by them. It's like, wait, but you can make the thing. So why didn't you?
Yeah, like if Tinks wrote even a fictional story, that story would be special to her audience because it came from her. And I think authenticity is a key piece here. And there's layers in this situation where Tinks didn't fully make the product. It's not coming from her lived experience. I guess the question I'm asking is, does it change Tinks's credibility?
Does it change how I feel about Tinks's dating advice or her content as an influencer? Probably not. Box theory still stands. But do I want to buy her next book? Probably not.
Yeah. And I don't think this will be an issue for everyone. Like, just Tinks being involved in whatever way she was will be enough of a sell. But for me, it's like seeing the underbelly of the beast. If it's not handled artfully, sometimes there are these moments with influencers in particular where I'm like, oh, right, you're a billboard. It feels kind of soulless, which it shouldn't, because as we talked about earlier, Tinks is responsible for a lot of original creative content. And I guess I wish they had done something that builds on the skills she has that she can use rather than going kind of rogue and leaning on other people. But also, ghostwriters can make good money. And ultimately, I do want my fellow writers to get that bag.
Yeah. I would say if there's any good to come out of this, I do think shedding light on ghostwriting and making it more transparent is good, especially for the writers who ghost. I mean, one cool thing is that in a lot of the TikToks responding to the Tinks incident, the creators will also shout out Gabrielle Korn's books that are centered around queer characters, like The Shutouts and Yours for the Taking, and they love those books, and they want to, like, give them their proper due.
Yeah, I think, if anything, while people may not be rushing out to buy Tinks' next book, I feel like people, after reading Tinks' book, might be more likely to buy Gabrielle's next book.
Yeah, and this did shed light on how lucrative or common ghostwriting can be. There will be ghostwriters forever. Therefore, I just have one question, Kate. Do you think your influencer cat/cats will need a ghostwriter for his upcoming book?
Absolutely. I've already sort of mapped it out. It's a rags to riches story about how he was born in a BJ's parking lot with his sister.
Oh!
He goes from there and now lives like a king in a dual income, no kids household. So if that story is resonating with any listeners who also can write, please hit up the ICYMI inbox. We are taking applications for ghostwriters now.
Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify, and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Vic Whitley Berry, Candace Lim, and me, Kate Lindsay. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Hillary Fry is Slate's editor-in-chief. See you online
or at Kate's Cats book release party.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, and I'm the host of Slow Burn Watergate. Before I started working on this show, everything I knew about Watergate came from the movie All the President's Men. Do you remember how it ends? Woodward and Bernstein are sitting at their typewriters, clacking away. And then there's this rapid montage of newspaper stories about campaign aides and White House officials getting convicted of crimes, about audio tapes coming out that prove Nixon's involvement in the cover-up. The last story we see is Nixon resigns. It takes a little over a minute in the movie. In real life, it took about 2 years.
Five men were arrested early Saturday while trying to install eavesdropping equipment.
It's known as the Watergate incident.
What was it like to experience those 2 years in real time? What were people thinking and feeling as the break-in at Democratic Party headquarters went from a weird little caper to a constitutional crisis that brought down the president? The downfall of Richard Nixon was stranger, wilder, and more exciting than you can imagine. Over the course of 8 episodes, this show is going to capture what it was like to live through the greatest political scandal of the 20th century. With today's headlines once again full of corruption, collusion, and dirty tricks, it's time for another look at the gate that started it all. Subscribe to Slow Burn now, wherever you get your podcasts.